picked that out earlier in the week because of what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But this wellness in our soul comes not because of what's happening out there, but because of what's happening to us through God. So just one more plea for you. If you are in any sort of trouble, if you've got problems going on, if you've got a house that is flooded, let us know. If you need places to stay, we can take care of that as well, and we will do everything we can to get you going. I know we've got a number that are probably watching who will know of people in that situation. And so please let us know so we can do whatever we can to help. Okay, we are in the midst of a study on Hope Rises. And I've been thinking about whether or not to preach this sermon for a month. And I decided to go ahead and preach it because of all the questions I get. When we started this series, we based the opening introduction on stuff the preacher has asked. And I get more questions on what happens when we're sick than maybe anything else. And so I want to address at least a few questions. And in total, there's going to be five. Three at the beginning and then two quick at the end, that are questions that I've gotten from either our people or from other people as I've walked in and out of the hospital and tried to minister to people. I remember a phone call, and this was during COVID, and we were, this kind of feels COVID-esque in a way, preaching to a camera as much as to an auditorium. But I remember we had one member that was down with COVID, and so I was calling on him to check, and I called and said, hey, how's it going? And he said, this stuff is not good. And I think we could probably say that about sickness in general. I've never heard anybody say, this is great, I don't feel well. But we know that good can come out of it. And I want us to wrestle a little bit with that. What's interesting is there are some in this room who have hardly ever been sick. You have got a genetic system that is outstanding. And even if you get a cold, you're down for a day. There are others in this room who have constant health battles. And they may have to get infusions and treatments and various other things and stuff they just live with from now until Jesus comes or they go see him, one or the other. And so these questions, I think, are pertinent and they call us to a little bit of study. So the first question is, does sickness persist because creation is unredeemed? Or maybe to put it another way, are we all sick because this world is a mess? And my answer to that is going to be yes, sort of. We are living in the kingdom of God as part of the church, but to a great extent, the kingdom of God that is yet to come, where there will be no sickness and where there will be no trouble, is not upon us yet. And so while we live here. And that means we live with all the stuff that goes on around us, whether it's 6 or 7 inches of rain on the Saturday night, whether it's dealing with rheumatoid arthritis, whether it's dealing with MS, whether it's dealing with fill in whatever blank you might be able to fill in. And part of that is because the world has got some problems. I'm reminded of these verses from Romans chapter 8. And you've heard me say that Romans 8 is kind of a pivotal chapter in so many things. But Paul writes this. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is not seen is no hope at all. For who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Okay, I think what Paul is trying to say is so important. Whether it's on a day like today with water, or whether it's you're dealing with everyday sickness that comes because of a broken down body. And that is, we wait patiently for the real hope. See, the believer, I think, encounters sickness with faith. That's why we pray. The reason why we ask for healing for ourselves or for family members or for members in the church is because we go to the Father with faith that He can, but the believer also encounters sickness with hope because we know there is something greater that lies beyond this. And so even in the midst of our storm that is caused because of sickness, even in the midst of that, we know ultimately there is eternal deliverance. Now, we'd like deliverance here and now, right? If you've got some chronic health issue, you would love deliverance from it right this second. But unfortunately, because of the world we live in and the fallenness of it, we have to put up with it for a little while. But what's interesting is both today and tomorrow belong to God. Notice what Paul says at the end of Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body." Okay, Philippians is probably one of my favorite books just to read in those moments when I need a little bit of hope. Because Paul talks about hope and he weaves joy and hope all through it. But he says, let's just focus on some stuff as he finishes the book up. He says, our citizenship is somewhere else. We're longing for that day to come. And our lowly bodies, that is these bodies that break down, these bodies that age, these bodies that get sick, we know that one day they're going to be changed. But what he's saying is both tomorrow when that happens and today, both of those belong to God. And I've got to believe that in the midst of what I deal with, in the midst of what I help you deal with, that God has got this. And God can work through whatever it is that is going on in our life. So I think sickness is here because the world has fallen. But the second question is, what causes sickness in the first place? So the first thing I will get asked is, what did I do to deserve this? So someone will say, did I do some great sin? Did I do some great sin that I got this cancer, or that I've got kidney disease, or that my heart is not working the way it should? And my answer is kind of twofold. It's kind of yes, no, maybe, and let's talk about it some more. My first thing is if sin caused sickness, we would be sick all the time, right? I mean, if sin was the ultimate cause of whether we were sick or not, we would all be hacking up a lung, coughing left and right. So I think to say just chiefly that sin leads to sickness is probably not going the right direction. But on the other hand, any significant illness should prompt us to do some spiritual inventory. So what I'm saying is maybe God is not striking me with whatever it is that I'm going through because of my sin, but maybe what my life ought to do is reflect on what's going right and what's going wrong with it. Is I believe we need to take that opportunity to have a spiritual checkup. Because we know a few passages where it talks about a disobedient life leads to sickness. Let me just give you one from the New Testament and two from the Old Testament. So James says this, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Or go back and look at Solomon and then the psalmist. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Or David in Psalm 38. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of sin. Now, I don't know if any of those verses perfectly equate sin and sickness, but they certainly do give this allusion to there being at least some sort of connection. And so whether it's David or Solomon or James, they're all saying, let's take a look at ourselves. I think that matters. Because if that sickness goes the wrong direction, I want to make sure my heart is right with God. I mean, if I get a report that I've got cancer, or I get a report that I'm going to have open heart surgery, or I get a report that I've got a brain tumor, all of those things I'm going to take to God in prayer for healing, but I also need to look and see, am I right with God? And is my life attuned with Him? See, sin also comes. Lindsay, I'm going to drop down just a little bit. Sickness also comes because of some lousy choices we make. I mean, my grandmother, rest her my thoughts are not flowing very smooth this morning. Rest her soul, spirit, whatever the right phrase is, used to sit at her dining room table with the big giant oxygen tank two rooms away and a cord strung all through the house, plugged up to her nose, smoking a cigarette and drinking scotch. And then she'd hack up a lung. And she'd try to walk, and she'd walk like this, and she'd say, I just don't understand why all this is happening. And I wanted to say, well, Grandma, because you smoke like a chimney. The truth is some of our lifestyle choices are not the best ones. And I'm not just talking about smoking and drinking. Some of those choices that we make that lead to obesity, some of those choices that we make that lead to heart disease, some of those choices we make that just don't help our body function better than they should, are things that we're doing to ourselves. And so at least that is cause of some sickness. And then another thing is, let's just be honest, we're all getting old. Every day I look in the mirror, there's a little bit more white and a little bit less hair. And it's just the reminder that this body is getting older, which means it's going to break down even more. So fading health is an inevitable consequence. And then sometimes it's none of those things. I can think of someone in this room who deals with chronic illness that she's dealt with since she was a child because of her delivery. I can think of others in this room who face diabetes and they face lung issues and maybe they never once smoked in their lives, but yet they're constantly dealing with lung issues. So sometimes there's not even an explanation. That I can't say it's sin, and I can't say it's poor health choices, and I can't say it's just getting old. Sometimes just stuff happens. But then the third question, and maybe this is where we need to think about it the most seriously, is God's grace greater than any sickness we have? And my answer to that is always going to be yes. So the first two questions are, well, let's talk about it, and maybe, and let's evaluate circumstance, and let's see what's going on. But when we get to question number three, is God's grace greater than my answer every single time is yes. And that's based on this passage. So just hear Paul. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power was made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. Notice verse 10. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insult, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Okay, what I find interesting in the midst of this is Paul is going to glory in God's grace. He's not going to glory in the predicament that he's in. Now, whatever his thorn in the flesh is, we could probably imagine it to be five or six things. And I don't know if it's sickness or not, but the believer doesn't glory in those things that are wrong. He glories in the grace that God is going to give. See, one way we experience God's grace is in healing. But another way we experience God's grace is through endurance. That when there is something before us and God says to us like he has said to Paul, you've asked to have it removed and I'm going to allow it to stay for whatever reason, but I'm going to teach you how to endure. I'm going to teach you how to deal with it. I'm going to teach you how to function in the midst of it. I'm going to teach you how to bring glory to God in the midst of it. See, the irony of this passage is the thorn, Paul says, comes from Satan and God allows it. Now, I'd like him to give some further detail on that when we all have an audience with him in prison. But God, in heaven, God allowed an attack on Paul's physical well-being to improve his spiritual well-being. And I think that matters. That if there's going to be something that is happening to me, whether it's sickness or fill in whatever are the blanks you want to fill in, that there's a lot worse things than those things. Things like pride and arrogance and inauthenticity and confidence in myself over God. And maybe what God is trying to say in allowing us to go through those things on a daily basis is quit trying to figure out yourself and trust and lean on me. Because true faith consists of trusting God. I don't know how much this line is used in wedding ceremonies anymore. I still use it. But when you take vows, I still use that little line in sickness and in health. And I use that on purpose because I've seen a lot of spouses bail on the other because they got sick. And that drives me nuts. But our faith ought to be like our marriages. And in sickness and in health, we're still going to trust. That we're still going to believe in the promises of God, no matter what condition our bodies are in. Because, let me say this gently, you don't deserve to be healed. I don't deserve to be healed. I've done nothing where I can look up at God and say, hey, look, I've got this list of stuff. I did A, B, C, and D, and here's my list of all the stuff I've done good for you. Why don't you take care of my fill in the blank? Because the truth is, I can give him the other list that's on the other side that is longer and a whole lot worse than some of the good stuff I do. So I don't deserve the mercy of God. I don't deserve him to come in and take care of everything that's going on in my life. But yet, I'm going to trust in him anyway. Okay, I've always been bothered by a story in Acts chapter 12. A story in Acts, Confessions of the Preacher. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is released in prison and the church is praying for him. Now, I love that part of the story. Earlier in the book of Acts, James is in prison. And the church, I'm pretty sure, prays for him, and James is dead by the time you get to Acts chapter 12. And that bothers me. That bothers me because there are moments when I look at God and say, okay, why did you save Peter, but you didn't save James? And there are moments when I've stood in the midst of this church, and I've said, why did you heal him, and you didn't heal her? It was, in Acts 12, and still is, God's sovereign choice to dispense grace as he chooses. But we've got to be careful that we don't want healing more than we want God. Because sometimes I think we're so concerned with what's going on right here that we lose sight of everything else. So let's finish with the last two questions. And I think these may be the most important ones. First, do I have enough faith to ask God to be healed? Okay, I hope your answer to that is yes. I hope if you are dealing with chronic sickness, I hope if you're dealing with cancer, heart disease, and you've got people around you dealing with those things, that your answer to that is yes. I've got enough faith to ask God to take care of it. But the second question is even more important. Do I have enough faith to be sick? Let me say that again. Do I have enough faith to be sick? Okay, I've spent a lot of ministry time in hospitals. And I've spent a lot of ministry time on deathbeds. And I've spent a lot of ministry time sitting with someone who is counting their days. And they've got the faith that God could heal. But do they have the faith to be sick? I came across this little essay by a man by the name of William Sangster, who was a British minister who had been diagnosed with muscular atrophy. I can't even say words. Here were the four resolutions he made. I will never complain. I will keep the home bright. I will count my blessings. I will turn this for gain. Okay, I thought that was pretty intriguing. So in the midst of something that had taken his body and reduced it from something strong that could stand and preach to something that could barely sit and speak, he says, I will never complain, I will keep the home bright, I will count my blessings, and I will turn this for gain. See, that is having enough faith to be sick. Our bodies are broken. Our bodies eventually, if statistics are right, you're either going to go to heaven on the second coming or you're going to die, if my memory is right. And so the news on these bodies is not the best of news. But do you have the faith to be sick? To let a body start to go wrong, yet still trust in God? So here's the strategy I want to give you. Whether you're facing it now, or whether it's on the horizon, or maybe it's 50 years down the road, is first, I think we ought to oppose sickness. Back in the 2 Corinthians 12 story, Paul is not censored for asking God to remove it. He is not lectured by God. He is given one line. It says, my grace is sufficient, my power is perfect in weakness. You've got Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and again, he's not facing sickness. He's facing something far greater than that. And what Jesus will pray is, take this cup from me, your will be done. I think in both of those cases, they are opposing what is before them, but allowing God to do what God is going to do. The second thing is, never waste an illness. Okay, I remember this conversation like it was yesterday, and it was probably 25 years ago. So 25 years ago, ministers could walk into the hospital, and I could go right back to where the doctors were and see the big giant board that had this is all before HIPAA, and it would have patient's name, it would have the room number, it would have what was wrong with them, and it would have what church they would go to. And so I would kind of peel around into the nurses section, and I'd start at the church thing, and I'd see if there are any that said C of C. And that would be the first line I'd go down. And then I'd look through the names and see any names that I might recognize. And then I would make sure they weren't having a baby, because I don't want to go there. But so there was one little old lady that happened to be a member at another Church of Christ from another town that was at our hospital. And so I see that, and I write down the room number, and I go up to her room, and I say, I'm Doug Austin, and I'm the minister down the street. Can I do anything for you? That's all of your phones. Let's just all look at them at once. It's going to say we're going to flood, isn't it? Who's went off three times in the night last night, every time we got to sleep? Okay, y'all got them turned off? Be careful going home. Roads are bad still. The lady in the hospital said, do you think God is trying to tell me something? Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Whatever you're facing, don't miss the good that God wants to bring out of your weaknesses, out of a weakened body, out of a messed up world. Don't miss out the good that God wants to bring. Okay, my very favorite line from C.S. Lewis reads like this. Someone asks him, he's on a radio show, why do the righteous suffer? I think they're trying to set him up. And C.S. Lewis answers this, why not? They're the only ones who can handle it. Folks, we can handle it because we have got God. And we believe that in the midst of our trials, whatever they be, and I know we're focusing on our health, but in whatever those trials may be, whether they go away or whether they last till our last breath, we've got God behind us. I keep being reminded all through this series, the line from John where he says, the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. That's where hope rises. It rises in the midst of sickness. It rises in the midst of we talked about last week, depression. It rises in the midst of floodwaters. It rises in the midst of whatever it is we're going to fill in the blank that's going the wrong direction, that the one who is in us is greater than the one who's in the world. And we just got to trust that and have faith that whether God delivers from it or not, that God has still got it. So I'm going to be here at the front for a few minutes. Elders are all through the room. We're going to be manning the phones. We've all got our cell phones. So if you get home and find predicaments, problems, you call us and we'll start sending some volunteers out to do what needs to be done. But if you need something, let us know as we stand, as we sing. Kent? Okay.